Dr. Range. Hello and welcome. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm fantastic now that I'm seeing you. You definitely have, even through the magic of the computer, you have good, like, I feel like it would be hard to be in the doldrums around you.
I've got a good ring light. That's what it is.
I didn't put mine on. I thought that would be too fancy.
I look really tired if I don't put it on. And I've just been on call this weekend, so I look extra tired at the moment. Bags under the eyes, dark circles, the lot.
Oh, well, I mean, to me, you still look absolutely glorious. But your good energy, your good vibes makes you a perfect candidate for Feel Good Habits. And your friend and mine, Bryony Blake, who did this show and gave some unbelievable tips. Aww. The one about creating a folder of pictures that make you happy on your phone so that you can access
that's
it.
That's nice.
Isn't it? Just photos that make me smile.
Yeah.
I've stolen that one. But I am so excited to hear yours. And also, it's always somewhat intimidating to podcast with a fellow podcaster.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I see, I'm still not used to that. So that's one of the things that I've done in lockdown is launch a podcast with three of my doctor friends. It's myself, Dr. Zoe Williams, Dr. Sarah Kite, and Dr. T. John Esho. And it's kind of like a medical... Obviously, there's lots of medical podcasts out there, but it's a medical podcast with a bit of a... funny friendly twist to it. And actually, our most recent episode, we had Jesse Nelson from Little Mix as our very first guest.
I saw
very it. First one.
Also, can I just say, a genius name. Could you tell listeners what you called your podcast? It's genius.
It is called Steth's Drugs Rock and Roll.
I mean,
well, it took us a long time to come up with a name that encapsulated that we were medical but actually very much doctors off duty. So if you imagine a group of doctor friends, as we used to, going to when we were allowed, going to a bar, sitting down, having a drink and having a chat. It's basically just that. It is that, but as a podcast, except now we have to record it from our own homes over the airwaves and drink by ourselves.
Not too much of a hardship, though, is it?
No, not really. There are worse things in life, let's be honest.
Prosecco via a video call. It's still Prosecco.
Well, this is the thing. It's become a thing now. Zoom and Prosecco or Zoom and a cocktail. Zoom cocktails are amazing. I've learned to make so many cocktails. I'm getting pretty good at it now. It's quite worrying in some ways.
So am I right in thinking that one of your feel-good habits would be finding new things? So you started a podcast and you're also learning new cocktails.
Yes, so started a podcast, learning to make cocktails, written a book.
I beg your pardon?
I wrote a book in lockdown as well.
Hang on.
Well, actually, I wrote two books in lockdown. One is a secret because I can't tell anybody yet because it's not been announced. The other one is a picture book for children. So it's all based on, it's called Superhero Like You. It's about a little girl called Lily who wants to grow up to be a real life superhero, not a superhero that wears pants on the outside of their trousers and flies around. She wants to be a superhero like the frontline workers, essentially. It's to celebrate the work of key workers and everybody that keeps us safe and keeps us going and makes the world a better place. And that's the kind of superhero that she wants to be.
That is brilliant and so timely as well.
Yeah, it kind of was born out of pandemic times. The idea came up during the time and we've turned it around really, really quickly. Because it's a picture book, obviously, and it's for children, there's not a huge amount of text, but the artwork takes a really long time, but it looks fantastic. And it's out on the 12th of November, I found out. You can pre-order it on Amazon right now, but it's being published on the 12th of November.
Well, listeners, there will be a link to buy that book in the show notes.
Thank you.
I do love a pre-order. And I always say, this is one of my mantras, if any of my friends make anything, you buy it.
Okay. That's a great mantra for your friends.
Well, just because like I have a friend who has a fashion company, I have friends who write books, and so I always make sure I click and buy. So there you go.
Fantastic. And actually, a proportion of the profits from every sale of that book goes to NHS Charities Together. So it's all for a good cause as well.
Fantastic. So, I mean, you have been in lockdown. You've written two books and you started a podcast and you learned how to make numerous cocktails.
Yeah.
But you've still been working full time, right?
So I work part time. I used to work full time in the NHS. And then as a lot of people will know, I also work on the TV and write for magazines, etc. And as that was kind of growing, I found that I couldn't do the two together. It was just too much. I was burning out. And I had to just really take a step back and say, right, I've got to rebalance now my work, my life. So I decided to go part-time and do medicine part-time, still very much in the NHS. And then the rest of the time, I build my sort of other work around that. So, I've actually stepped up my shifts during the pandemic because obviously it's really important right now. We could do with all the help we can get. And at the same time, everything else has kind of quietened down. So it's given me time and space to be able to do that. And it's been really, really good actually for that.
Nice balance. Also, it strikes me that when the lure of the media or a profile is kind of in the near distance, it can be quite easy to sort of stop doing one thing and just do another.
Yeah.
But the fact that you wanted to accommodate both, the way you just said then, I had to balance my work life.
yeah, my two jobs and my life. my clinical career has always been really, really important to me. I've worked, I've been an NHS doctor for 18 years now, and 18 years, yeah, gosh. And I thought, if I've put in all of that work, what a shame it would be to give all of that up, because I've worked really, really hard. It's definitely not been easy. And at the same time, I love doing it. That is my bread and butter. It's my passion. It's what drives everything that I do. And the stuff I do in the media is kind of related to that anyway. And what I wouldn't want to do is lose credibility. As well as it being my passion, it is my credibility as well. So it's always been really important for me to carry that on, especially right now when, you know, things in the healthcare system are so, so up in the air and pressurized and so much is going on. I think it's even more important than before.
How do you think that will manifest for you moving forward in terms of helping the NHS and as you see, you know, some of the profits from the book are going towards those charities? Do you think that seeing the strain it's been under with the pandemic and also the renewed appreciation from the public seeing how integral key workers are, how do you think that for you is going to be a new strand to how you move forward?
It's definitely going back and working in hospital again more than I used to. It's definitely reminded me of why I loved it so much and what kind of drives me forward. So I'm going to try and, like you said, it's very easy to get lured away, you know, the glitz and the glam, so-called glitz and the glamour of the media world. The media world is actually really, really hard work, and it's really cutthroat, as a lot of people will know. If you're looking at it from the outside, yeah, sure, it can look glitzy and glamorous, but I can tell you now, it's not always like that. It's reminded me going back why I do what I do. So I'm definitely going to try and factor more of that in as much as I can. And I'm hoping, it's been lovely to see and hear the appreciation that people now have for frontline workers when we really know, you know, why we have them, their value. That's been amazing to see that. I really hope that sentiment continues. What we now need is long-term change that is going to secure that workforce. And that value that we found for them needs to continue. It wasn't long ago when nurses were having to march because of their working conditions and their pay. And now, if you look back on that, you would think, oh my gosh, like, we should have done everything we could. Of course, we've got to do everything we can. These people are really, really important. But that's us having gone through a pandemic and realized that before that, people weren't really making a noise about it and saying, this is unacceptable. These are really, really important people doing a really important job, and they all keep us safe and well. And it's this pandemic has served to remind us why those workforces, not just nurses and doctors, but everyone on the front line and key workers, why they're so important and what they really, really mean. I hope that continues.
I agree with you, and I hope so too. So what have you been doing to feel good
What have I been doing? Other than making cocktails and writing books. What lockdown has made me realize is the importance of connection. Because I took it for granted before, because I'd see people every day at work. And, you know, if I went out with friends, I took that connection for granted because it was always there. And lockdown slowed everything down for me and stuck me in one place, made me spend time at home. And I realized how much I missed those connections. So I've worked out different ways of connecting with people electronically. Everyone's online now, aren't they? And that's really lovely to see, because I think it's reminded us all of the power of connection and the importance of it. And I'm hoping that people who were previously isolated and lonely are less so, because some of us are checking in more with each other. So I've been doing a lot of that, checking in with friends. Even if I can't see them face to face, it's nice to see them on a screen or chat to them on the phone. I've been trying to get as much physical activity in as I can. Obviously, being a doctor, I harp on about why physical activity is important. But I hate exercise. Exercise is boring. I tried to take up running for a bit. I thought, yeah, do you know what? My one form of exercise a day, I'll go for a jog. That lasted all of 3 days. So now I dance. I do dance classes. I do Zumba classes online because they're free and you can just do them online, or you can do them with an instructor. I have an instructor that does classes. I've started to learn how to Vogue, which is a dance form all in itself. One of my friends in Liverpool was a Vogue master and he set up a class every Saturday. I've done Bhangra dance classes. No, because that was... I've only just started and I've realised I'm not very flexible, so I've got to work on my flexibility. Mm. At the moment, I just look like someone who's drowning and trying to stay afloat. So I've started to do, and I find dance classes are a great way, not only just to keep fit, but it releases endorphins. It makes you feel great. It keeps you nice and active. At the moment, you know, we're not doing anywhere near as much activity and moving around as we used to. And it's just fun. It's just really, really good fun. And I'm all about fun. And related to that, obviously, I love music. And the other thing I find really good when you're at home by yourself and nobody else is around, if you live by yourself, it's great. It's just to belt out songs. I love singing. I've just been honestly screaming them out in the shower. There's some evidence of that on my TikTok.
Okay, so I'm going to need to know what your go. So if you wake up in the morning and you think, you know what, I'm feeling a bit flat, I just need to like shush myself up.
Yeah.
What's the song?
Anything from a musical or from Disney. So A Whole New World. Fantastic. One Night Only from Dreamgirls.
Yes.
What I do is I just put my phone on when I'm in the shower, with the phone's obviously outside the shower, and put it on Spotify and just let it randomly pick something and sing along to it. It's great. I'm not going to sing right now, though. I can tell you that.
No, you're
right.
Fine. But I think I actually told you on email that my go-to song is To See That Walk by RuPaul.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
If that is not an anthem that tells you that just keep going.
That's it. And feel fabulous doing it. That's the thing, isn't it? Yeah. To See That Walk is all about... just get out there, march to the beat of your own drum and own it. Own who you are, own what you love, show yourself off. It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from or what you do. Just go out there and feel amazing. That's definitely one of my exercise. And it's a great one to jog to. It's an exercise.
Great rhythm. That is. And also contains one of my favourite lyrics of all time, which is, lest they paying your bills, pay them bitches no mind.
Exactly. There you go. RuPaul is a poet.
A poet, a master, whatever you like to call it.
Yeah.
So music and dance are important. What else makes you feel good?
I am one of these people who loves creature comforts. So I love nothing more than putting on my onesie, sitting on the sofa with tea and cake.
Oh.
That is my... wind down like kind of ritual, and it's and I look really simple stuff. I know people have be like, oh yeah, this is what I do, and it's all really cool and intricate, and like Bryony's folder of photos. I was like, yeah, sure, Bryony, I just want tea and cake. I'm basic, not basic, but I like the basic creature comforts that anyone can do. Yeah, that's my favorite thing. In fact, during most of lockdown, I've just lived in joggers and onesies. It's bad. I've got them on right. I've got joggers on right now. I'm not doing any exercise. Just living them. So I like that. That's been one of my go-tos a lot. What else?
I am going to ask you though.
Yeah.
What's your tea of choice?
Ooh, yeah.
And what's your cake of choice? Okay, in descending right. order.
Easy. So tea of choice. I grew up on PG Tips. Mm-hmm. And then I then transferred loyalties to Yorkshire tea.
Oh.
So I'm a Yorkshire tea person. And I'm glad, actually, very recently on social media, both Yorkshire Tea and PG Tips came out in support of Black Lives Matter, didn't they? They were very open and public about it, which I think is fantastic. And I was like, yes, that's why you're in my life. So Yorkshire Tea Gold Blend. But somebody told me there's a biscuit blend, which is even better.
Right.
I did not know about this. And obviously, being Indian and Sri Lankan, we know all about tea. I think we created it. We created black tea.
100%.
Yeah. And most tea comes from India and Sri Lanka. Most black tea does. Oh, well, obviously, it's grown around other places of the world as well. And apparently, on the PG Tips, now it's a monkey on their boxes. But originally, when they had the Asian lady who was in a field picking tea leaves, that's a Sri Lankan lady, someone told me.
Is it?
Yeah, someone said that. I was like, oh, okay. Where maybe it was my Sri Lankan friend telling me, but maybe they were just biased. So, Yorkshire Gold Blend at the moment is my go-to.
I'm going to be really specific about this. I know we have an international audience, and as much as the English people be interested in some Americans, some Australians, how do you milk and do your sugar?
Oh, my gosh. So contrary to a video that was out on social media recently about an American mum and her daughter making tea, which was sacrilege, filth, absolute filth that needed to go straight in the bin. Mm. Tea bag. I put my tea bag in my cup. I add half sugar, half sweetener because I've got massive sweet teeth. So I tried to cut the amount of sugar I have down and then obviously add my water, let it brew. Mm. Give it a couple of minutes, take the tea bag out, then I add my milk.
Yeah.
And it has to be, in terms of how much milk, I don't like very milky tea. I go by the color of my skin. So, that's how much milk. When people are like, how much milk would you like? Just the color of my skin, please, if that's all right. I'm the perfect tea color at the moment. In terms of cake, oh my gosh, cake. I could talk about cake for days. Right at the top has got to be lemon drizzle. Obviously. Oh my gosh, lemon drizzle cake. Chocolate fudge cake.
Ooh.
Raspberry and white chocolate brownies. Orange and polenta cake. Cheesecake, carrot cake. What can you tell I've thought about this? lovely plain Madeira cake, like just a slice of plain Madeira cake sometimes is just exact. Oh, that's all you need. Red velvet. Oh my gosh, how could I forget? Red velvet cake with buttermilk icing on the top or whatever it is. Oh, yeah. Just having a moment.
No, I'm also partial to a slice of Genoa, but I am not against any of the just the cherries.
Oh,
just the cherry.
Lovely.
Do you make them as well? Or do you?
I went through a phase where I was making loads of cakes, but the problem was I stopped because I have an issue with self-control.
Yeah.
So I used to make them and eat the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now my friend's mum makes them for me every now and again, and she'll drop them off outside my door. And my neighbours upstairs in my building where I live are the YouTuber Joe Sugg and his girlfriend Diane Buswell, who's a dancer on Strictly Come Dancing in the UK. We've all become really good mates, and Diane made me a rainbow cake recently, a rainbow unicorn cake, which is amazing. And she left it outside my door with a little note. So I love that I get these little cake deliveries. But no, I can't make them myself anymore because I have put a ban on me making cake because I will just eat it.
I'm exactly the same. And everyone I know, all of my friends have been baking during lockdown.
And banana bread has had a massive revival. Don't know why. It's one of the most boring things you can ever make or eat. It's got nothing. It's just blah. It's just, great. No one thinks, oh, you know what? I really fancy some banana bread. No one says that.
You're so right. I think it's just the lure of being able to use something that you'd otherwise just put on the compost heap.
It's the Rice Krispies of the cake world, isn't it? It's just so, meh.
Yeah, I hear you. So we've covered food, and I do like your choice of tea. And you made me want to make a brew in this as well.
There you go.
What else have we got on your list, my friend?
I think that was most of it. actually, one thing I have been... So this has really helped my mental health, actually, during lockdown. Before lockdown, I was running around all the time, trying to do everything. I was getting massive FOMO, which is fear of missing out. For people who don't know, I'm sure everybody knows what FOMO is. If I didn't go to something or do something, I would feel guilty, which basically meant that I was running around trying to do everything. And lockdown was a great way to break that cycle. It made me sit down and stop and think and reflect. So it just gave me a bit of breathing space. And I've used lockdown actually to do all of the things that I wanted, the little jobs that are bugging me, little sort outs and things like that, which have always been at the back of my mind and have been causing anxiety in a way, because I know they're always there. Mm. Time to have a sort out. So have a mental sort out. So sort out your thoughts, throw away what you don't need, keep the things that are important and create some space there for new things. Mm. And I've done exactly the same with my flat, my cupboards, my wardrobe. Oh my gosh, I donated 50% of my wardrobe to charity. I have a 4 meter long wardrobe, Emma, which for a bloke, which for a guy is a lot.
That's two Brad Pitts.
That's, well, there you go. He's not in my wardrobe, unfortunately. I have a humongous wardrobe, and I become a bit of a hoarder. So I had a massive clear out, and I cannot tell you how good I felt afterwards. I did the whole Marie Kondo thing. Does it bring me joy? and I'm going to do the same with every cupboard in my flat. And I find sorting out your physical space helps you sort out your mental space.
Totally.
And that, I would recommend that to everybody. And actually, in a time where we all feel like we're not achieving very much and we're kind of demotivated and every day just seems to run into one another, those little victories, that when you wake up and you make your bed, that will make you feel good. When you wake up, get showered and get dressed and just get ready. Not as if you're going anywhere, but just get ready. Those victories really count. Mm. Sort out one cupboard at a time. You will get such a sense of joy afterwards. And it's such a silly thing. I'm just cleaned a cupboard, but at least I've done something and achieved something. That is my other go-to.
That is a really good one. And also on this podcast 2 years ago, I did a wardrobe clean-out habit.
Yeah.
The objective was to whittle your entire wardrobe down to 33 items.
There you go.
Not excluding underwear.
Including shoes.
And you have
I've got
live.
More than 33 pairs of shoes.
I might need to see a picture of your cupboard.
I've got two shoe cupboards. Three, actually.
I really need to see you. And the rest of it, you either donate or you hide.
Yes.
So I had underbed storage, so I just vacuum packed everything that I didn't want to donate and put it out of sight. And I didn't go back to any of it. I ended up donating all of that, but I lived in 33 items. And it was the mental clarity that really surprised me. And then it extended to my office, then the kitchen. Then it's really, totally agree.
I've just got the kitchen left. I've done the entire apartment, bathroom cupboards, under my bed, bedroom cupboards, wardrobes, everything, hallway, shoes. I've literally gone through everything. The last thing that's left is my kitchen.
Wait until you sort out your Tupperware.
I've got lots of it as well. I'm just going to end up having to recycle so many things.
My Tupperware drawer gives me joy because it's like everything's perfectly now.
But I don't need it. I don't need all that Tupperware. I've got a juicer somewhere that I don't think I've ever used.
I did donate my spiralizer. That didn't last long.
See, this is what I need to do, is start to donate things.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't like throwing things away.
No, I'm the same. Now, I'm going to ask you, because you mentioned it earlier, so I just think because of the kind of subjects that we talk about on this podcast, it seems, and while I have you, it seems like a good idea to ask you. So you mentioned burnout.
Yes.
And I wondered whether you, because I've been there too, and I feel like A, as I get older, and B, as I've learned to sort of put those protective barriers in place for my own mental health, I'm able to see it coming.
Yeah.
And so you can implement them much sooner. And I'm wondering if that's a place where you're getting to.
Absolutely. Definitely. I've been guilty of falling into the trap, much like other people, of trying to do everything and trying to do too much and not realizing that we all have limits and we all have capacity. And I had to actively learn to say no. And that was one of the most important life lessons I've ever learned, I think, is to say no and not feel bad about it. Either say, and actually one of my friends elaborated on it, say, you know what you should do? Either say no or not yet. That's what you've got to learn. And like I said, that creates space for yourself because you've got to look after yourself. And not being too hard on yourself. It's just being a bit kinder to yourself and allowing you to be able to say, no, do you know what? I just need to prioritize myself a little bit because, and I now can feel it when I'm reaching that capacity again. I start to get something called compassion fatigue, where I get irritable and I get snappy and just a bit short with people, and I can feel it and I can sense it, and I have to step back and I kind of have a mental word with myself and say, calm down. You're doing it, right? You're hitting that point. Just relax and breathe. Just pace yourself a little bit. It's okay. I have a little mental word with myself.
I've never heard that expression, compassion fatigue.
Compassion fatigue. This is what happens. And so it happens in certain professions, for example, in healthcare, because it's mainly caring professions. You have to give so much because that is part of your job, which is really, really important. But there can come a point where if you're constantly pummeling yourself, trying to give, you run out and you get compassion fatigue. And that's when you start to become irritable, and some people get angry and they get physical symptoms. They can't sleep. They get anxious. You feel an incredible amount of guilt. And that's purely because your compassion bucket has run out. And what you need to do is actually step back and replenish it a little bit and give yourself some space. And that was, I remember there's been a couple of times during my medical career where I've, and burnt, that's what happens in burnout, is you run out. You just run out of your ability to cope with things, and your reserves are run dry. And that's your body saying, stop. You've run at maximum capacity for too long now. Your batteries are gone. You now need to recharge. I think that's advice I'd give anybody who's trying to cope. Like, I mean, parents and carers who have to think about their children and people they're in charge of, as well as themselves, and balance a job and balance a household right now. It's so easy to get burned out, and it's really important to be aware of when that's happening and just to kind of step back.
Yeah. And I don't think we should be hard on ourselves if we burn out. Like,
no,
it's understandable. And people, I mean, I'm ambitious. And so I think that contributed to my burnout in like my 20s and 30s. And so now I have to balance my ambition with other things. But again, it's just kind of living through it, isn't it? And learning each time.
And you can have ambition, you can have drive, you can have dreams. They're really important because that's what keeps you going. But burnout happens because you've been working too hard, not because you've not been doing enough. So you shouldn't be hard on yourself. Burnout happens when your body's like, enough is enough. You've done too much. Yeah. Slow down. You've been too good.
Now, speaking of dreams and ambitions, before I let you go, you have achieved a wonderful dream, a huge ambition, because you have just filmed with your friend of mine and friend of the podcast, Michelle Visage, for her TV yes. show, haven't you?
Oh, gosh. Oh, I was watching it last night. I was watching the episode last night and I couldn't, I was fanboying so hard throughout that entire episode. It was filmed in lockdown. It's her new TV show that she's created in lockdown called How's Your Head, Hun? And she talks all about... Oh my gosh, two people so far have given the right response to that question.
How many have she done?
She's had about 10 guests on so far. She usually has 2 or 3 guests per episode. She's had about 10 guests on so far. Only two people, myself included, gave the right response to how's your head, hun? And the right response, if anyone's listening, is I've not had any complaints. That's the right response. Oh my gosh, that was a dream come true. And she is such a sweetheart. She's honestly one of the nicest people. She's such a strong woman. She's got her opinions and, you know, she has lived life. She really has. So you listen to Michelle when she speaks. Mm. You listen. But she has got a heart of pure gold. And, I hope I can now count her as a friend. Like, she's just, you know, we text every now and again. So I'm like, I'm such a geeky fan.
She's somebody who I consider has really good boundaries. She's very giving. And I've always said she's the beating heart of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes.
And yet when I met her, when she came on the podcast, I was very aware she is so giving, but she's definitely boundaried and knows her mind and she knows when to say no.
Yeah, exactly. And I think she's learned that through experience and everything that she's done. And she's done incredible things. But she is, I think, the epitome sometimes of tough love. She loves and loves and loves, but she knows where to stop and say enough.
Yeah.
That's important for everybody.
It is. Well, hopefully she's coming on Feel Good Habits very soon. So yay! I'll be interested to hear what hers are. It has been so much fun chatting to you.
Thank you so much.
Your time, because I know that you are hugely busy juggling work and life.
As are we all, Emma. As are we all. Thank you so much for having me.
It's been wonderful. So I will obviously be putting the links to your social media. I will be putting the links to Steph's Drugs and Rock and Roll.
Yay!
And the pre-order link, if you're listening to this before November 12th, 2020, the pre-order link to Superhero Like You. But then obviously, if you're listening to this after November the 12th, you'll be able to buy it. What a treat.
Yay!
And I will be eagerly, eagle-eyed looking for the announcement for the other book.
Yes, coming very soon.
All very exciting. Thank you so much.
Thank you.